Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
A lot of footage, a lot of media covering the Baltimore Bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, or in Baltimore they just call it the Key Bridge. When it went down at 1:30 in the morning after being hit by a 984-foot cargo ship, they lost power and all control. They rammed into a support pillar, and a huge span of the bridge collapsed into the river.
The video is shocking. It's flat out shocking, just because it looks like a toy project. The way it the speed in which it crumbled, it
looks like a movie scene.
Yeah, and I don't. I mean, obviously, these ships, cargo ships, weigh so much, but I don't know if we'd ever really considered, what happens when, how quickly things go wrong when one of those pillars is hit. Now, this bridge is massive, too, right? Over a mile long.
Yep.
It really is a huge bridge, but when you see it crumble like that, it's shocking.
Yeah, it's bad for the state, certainly for Baltimore. It's a main artery for people who live in Baltimore. The bridge handles around 30,000 cars a day. So, once again, luckily it happened at 1:30 in the morning and not 1:30 in the afternoon. The cops in Baltimore are being applauded because they were able to pull it together within 100 seconds to block both ends of the bridge.
Wow.
To stop cars from going over. But there was a crew of 8 guys working there, filling potholes. 2 of them have been found. 6 are still missing. You would think probably that, and hopefully, if they are dead, and you would assume they are, that they went quickly because they probably got trapped under a lot of that bridge down in that water. That great, I guess from that standpoint, not more lives were lost, and that's all terrific. But the reason we're getting so much coverage of this is, and I don't even know that I knew this, but this Baltimore port is massive. Like, if you've ever been down to Miami and you see the one there with all the cargo ships, it's very similar. And I guess this cargo ship was going from Singapore to Sri Lanka, I believe. And so for us in Canada, we can say, well, what do we, all right, sad story, but why are we talking about it so much? It's because, and I heard this saying yesterday, I just think it's great. In America, when they fart, we feel it. And so with that, we've been going on and on since COVID about supply chains. Well, this port is a massive port for supply chains, not just to other countries, but to us.
Right.
So this is going to be a struggle, and I think we're going to see, once again, prices going up because we can't get things in.
Yeah. Well, and listen, when the things get delayed a day, it's frustrating. You've got a bridge that's down across the channel here. And that is, the rescue efforts, recovery efforts are part of the hindered is that there's a current that you have to deal with here. And you've got all of this, loose metal that's steel in the river or in this channel that the divers can't really negotiate around, or it's dangerous for them to negotiate around to even try and find these workers.
Yeah, it could be months. I mean, luckily it's this time of year, you're heading into the spring and summer, so you're not dealing necessarily with, frozen water or winter weather, although they were trying to work on it last night, and extreme weather or weather conditions at least slowed them up. But yeah, just to think of the effort it'll take just to haul all that out of the river and then start to rebuild it.
Oh, I know. Crazy. I got to clean up my garage today. And I'm like, I don't even want to start.
Hey, this is a good hypothetical. Would you rather have a 100% chance of winning $1 million? So you're going to win it. 100% chance, or a 75% chance of winning $100 billion. The first option's guaranteed money. That, of course, can change your life. The second would make you one of the richest people in the world.
Right.
100 billion, 75% chance, or a 100% payout of $1 million.
Wow. I mean, I'm a gambler. 75% chance is
good odds.
Pretty good odds. But that being said, you get nothing if you don't get that 100 billion.
You get zip, zero.
Well, I'd go for it.
Would you?
Well, I mean, listen, a million's nice, obviously, but 100 billion.
I'd take the million and run.
Well, I mean, you've often said too with your like Lotario and things like that. You're looking for just pay off the current bills.
Yeah, and live in some comfort,
and off you go.
Yeah,
I mean, interesting. The Mega Millions in the States was just won last night. That's 1.12 billion to one ticket. Now, obviously, taxes and everything gets cut up pretty quickly, but you're still someone's walking away with like $300 million.
When asked, 1,500 people were like you. They said they'd roll the dice. Actually, kind of 50-50. 48% said they'd go for the guaranteed money. 52% said they'd risk for the 100 billion.
Right. So. It seems quite greedy. But, I mean, it's a heck of a difference between 1 million and 100 billion.
Yeah, but zero is also not
great. Zero's right there, yeah. I'm closer to the zero now.
I mean, 100 billion, great interest.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, even on 1 million, great interest.
Yeah.
Debt's cleared up, great returns, living life, taking holidays. I mean, 100 billion is just so insane. All you're really doing with $100 billion is guaranteeing your grandchildren's grandchildren a future. And really, who cares about them? I love it when I hear these multi-billionaires. Well, it puts my family generationally down the road.
Right.
Okay, great. So now they're born into all this wealth and they'll be nothing but a sponge. Really great. No.
You're raising sponges.
I worry about you.
Mm-hmm.
Let your offspring care for themselves.
Wow, right. You can go rent them storage units.
Yeah. I mean, I'm doing all I can for them, for crying out loud. It's enough already. But yeah, no, 100 billion, who needs it? That's just nuts. So the ongoing investigation into Sean Diddy Combs has put a spotlight on a few other celebrities, including Prince Harry.
Okay. Oh,
Meghan's not going to be happy about this. Nobody's accusing him of anything, but his name came up in a $30 million lawsuit filed against Diddy. A music producer is accusing Diddy of sexual abuse, and in the court papers he talked about Diddy's alleged trafficking parties and his access to famous and important people, including Harry.
Gotcha.
Now, here's another guy. This dude, when his name comes up, and it doesn't often, but when it comes up, it should be for better stuff than this. Cuba Gooding Jr. He doesn't get off quite as easily as Harry. In an amended version of the lawsuit, the music producer accuses Cuba of sexual assault, groping, touching, fondling of legs, inner thighs, groin area.
Wow.
Yeah, on some yacht rented by Diddy. So, listen, when that many SWAT go in on something.
Right.
There's reason for something to be.
But Puff Daddy or Diddy was a music mogul in the industry for decades. So all the parties, and if you're anyone in the Hollywood scene or the music scene, you would have been, you know, clamoring to get in to one of these parties and not necessarily involved in all that was going on in them, but just trying to be part of the scene, right?
Oh, yeah. He was hosting parties. He was at every A-list party. He is one of the biggest music, movies, business. The guy's massive. So if he gets taken down, it'll be just crazy.
I think the big difference, too, is for those who knew what was going on and didn't say anything, right? It's one thing to just, you know, we all have many acquaintances or friends. We don't know what all of them do in their personal lives and whether or not they're getting into some sort of trouble somewhere in there. But if you do know about it and you're still going to all of these things,
right,
it's a bit different in terms of how you can get your way out of it.
Some are even comparing it now to an Epstein situation.
That's the one I was thinking about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, his name obviously comes up in so many circles because of that.
Now, this is a good example how you know you've hit a certain level of success. Diddy's alleged drug and gun mule was arrested by the feds. I personally don't have.
Oh, you don't?
I don't. Oh, you got a drug and gun mule?
You're missing out.
I don't even. You have one? You need, I was going to say.
You need mules for everything.
I didn't know any. Not that I don't have a drug and gun mule. I don't know anybody who has one, but now I do.
Right.
How long you've had your drug and gun mule?
Well, back to the teen years.
Is he available for some freelance work?
You got to know where to get things.
Do you consider yourself a wiener expert, Lucky?
No.
I'm talking hot dogs.
Sure. Either or. Expert by no means.
I just don't know how it works.
Right.
A gambling site is looking to hire a wiener connoisseur to visit all 30 Major League Baseball parks and check out the wieners at each one.
All right.
You'll get to taste test dozens of hot dogs, but they don't really care how good they are. They just want you to measure each weenie to see which major league club has the biggest and smallest.
Oh.
I don't know if you have to do the girth as well.
Right.
Once you get your hands on one, you need to measure the length, see how heavy it is. It's not a full-time gig, but they also don't expect you to handle all these wieners for free.
Sure.
Somebody's got to get paid playing with that many wieners.
Well, yeah. And it ain't cheap to go around from ballpark to ballpark eating wieners.
No. They'll buy you the game tickets. They'll travel is covered and you'll get $2,500 plus a $500 gift card.
Well, that's not too bad, actually.
Yeah.
If your travel's covered.
Nice way to spend the summer.
Sure.
Hey, sweetie and kids. Daddy's gotta go. I don't even care for baseball, but I'll do it.
That's right. In.
I know a couple of people. I've met a couple who have done that trek. The 30 ballparks.
All the ballparks?
Yeah. That's a thing.
Yeah, and you know, arenas the same way. I am still amazed sometimes. Like, when you're in a hotel and you're going, you know, I'm doing a game in a different city, and you'll see fans who are there from, you know, the visiting town. They're just, you know, they travel alongside the team. And, you know, there's some, you know, last year with the season series going to Sweden. They were going to Sweden to go watch NHL games.
Insanity is what it is. But it's not a cult at all.
No, it is crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's nuts. Yeah, there was a guy I met when we were in Windsor, and he and his brother went. His brother did it as a part of a mental health, I guess, charity fundraiser, because he had dealt with extreme depression and anxiety, all sorts of phobias and different issues, and he just willed himself to get onto planes and stay in hotels and go to every park.
Okay, so it's a therapeutic thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, him and his brother, the one brother who was kind of handling him or helping him through it all, they came in and we interviewed them to try to promote their raising money for their cause. And, yeah, just the anxiety of, like, you know, for so many of us, anxiety comes at different times and in different forms. We get nervous and wound up about things. It depends if there's pressures in your life or what's going on. And there's moments when you're just like, I never want to leave my house. I just want to be left alone.
Right.
And so for this guy to be able to pull out of that and go into all sorts of situations that would make him feel incredibly uncomfortable.
Right.
I mean, most of us don't like to get in a plane and be in crowded areas, even at the best of times.
Right.
So, yeah, good on him for doing that. And then there's just douchebags with a lot of dough.
Yeah.
Nothing else to do with your day. Tomorrow night, it goes down. The great first and hopefully last meatball off between me and Christian Yorkshire Pudding Pritchard.
Right.
As we go toe-to-toe to see who has the better balls.
Uh-huh.
And what started off as some fun has gotten very serious. One, because we're raising money to feed the need in Durham. And at first it was just going to be like Ted Reeder judging.
Yes.
And then Doug Elliott got involved, and then you hopped aboard, and that was great. Mm-hmm. And then Christian went out and got ourselves a couple of judges. One, Andrea Nicholson, who's terrific. And Massimo Capra, who joins us on the line. Now the heat, the pressure is on. When you've got a man of this talent judging your food. I'm sweating to my balls already.
Good morning, Chef Capra.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us, sir. since you are a judge, first question, yeah. Can you be bought? Is there any way? Anyway, I can just slip you off Finn and call this a day. Okay. We're going to cook meatballs. And, and here's the thing. Christian, of course, a professional chef, knows what he's doing, works for an Italian food company in Aurora Foods. I am not a professional chef. And so, but what I bring to the table is I have been sitting at the feet of the meatball master, my mother-in-law. Calabrese woman, she can cook like nobody's business, and I believe I have really conquered her meatballs. I've watched how she's done them. Now I can never, this can never be said around her because she would not, she would not be happy because no munja cake is going to cook as good as her.
But you never, ever say that.
That's right. But my,
no matter how bad the food is, you always say your mother cooks it better. Oh,
that's right. She's got two things in her life, food and God. So, but my wife, who's also Italian, thinks, that my meatballs are pretty damn good. And so, with that, we're going in. I have no idea how Christian makes his meatballs.
I have no idea either. I don't know, but you have the upper hand over here.
That's right.
You know, I mean, come on. Have to have learned something.
I did. I think I learned a lot.
Well, but judging by his waistline, he learned a lot. But Chef Capra, I mean, you know, just in case people are confused when we have Massimo Capra on, you're not of, you know, Irish descent. You are Italian. You are famous for your restaurants and Food Network judge and cook and, of course, your cookbooks as well. What to you is the perfect meatball?
Oh, this got to be moist. It's got to be delicate. This has to be crumbly a little bit, but not too much. You know, cooked in a beautiful tomato sauce that is not overly bitter or acidic. Mm. And lots and lots of, I like to put Romano cheese on mine, but, you know, I mean, that's me. I just make a simple meatball. I mean, garlic, parsley, a little bit of onion, and bread soaked in milk, and then just the meat.
Bread soaked
and
in
milk? All depend on, it all depends on how much you manipulate your meat, you know. I mean, how much of a hand you give to your meat to make it sticky just right.
Right.
You know?
Well,
otherwise, it comes out gummy.
That could be a problem for Craig, because over-manipulating his meat was...
That's what Christian does normally. So, I mean, we'll see.
Now, I like this idea of the milk in the breadcrumbs, and I have heard of that. I don't do that, but does the milk help cut down some of the acidity in the tomato sauce, or what do you do to cut that acidity?
No, what the milk does makes the meat softer.
Okay.
You know, so that makes it a lot better. Tastier and much more pleasant to the palate, because sometimes we eat meatballs and the meat feels dry to the palate, even though it might be soft.
Yes.
You know, with the milk, what happens is that the enzymes in the milk kind of work on the meat and soften it up.
Okay, I like what you're saying here, because my meatballs are very similar.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
In approach.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I can't believe the amount of science that they kind of thought into this.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then make sure Christian is not listening. But you know what? If you want to make it really, really good, you got to add more cheese inside the meat, right?
Right.
Okay.
Heavy. And you might want to put even, I don't know. I mean, I'm not, I'm a judge. I cannot be partial. But, you know, if you win, it's good for me, too. So,
we can't have this Yorkshire pudding Pritchard beating us. With this Massimo, I, too, am now Italian. I am Gregorio. Let's go.
Right.
Gregorio, yeah, that's right.
Gregorio. Como sarich. So what kind of meat do you go with, Massimo? Do you go with the, I like the veal.
I like
pork.
A mixture.
Okay.
No, I like a mixture of pork and beef.
Okay. All pork and beef,
yeah.
Not veal.
Pork and beef, yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, you can do veal. I mean, that's all, you know, that's all up to your taste, you know what I mean? I like my beef. I mean, veal is very tough to find these days here.
Mm.
It's not very common, so, you know, I mean, veal would be good too, but veal, pork, or beef, either one of the three or a mixture of the three will always be perfect.
Chef Capra, you've got a couple of restaurants on the go. Of course, one in Mississauga and Sheridan on the Falls has Massimo's Italian as well. If you've been to Niagara, do you have a meatball on your menu normally?
No, I do on one of them, actually, at the airport at Bocconi. We do have meatballs, and that's how we make them. Mm-hmm. In Niagara Falls, I don't. And at Capra's Kitchen here in Mississauga, we occasionally offer them.
And with you being predominantly an Italian chef, I'm sure you know how to do it all, but is there any other culture, any other food that you find that you really love to cook or that is really actually difficult to cook?
Oh, well, difficult. Most of the Asian cuisines are very difficult. Right. You know, Southeast Asian or Asian is the same. Difficulty, I mean, very intricate combination of flavors, to me, anyway. But the one that I love the most after my own would be the French or Spanish. Mm. French and Spain really got in my heart, really.
Yeah,
those are beautiful, beautiful styles of cooking. You know, really, really rich and flavorful and delicious. And in terms of the French, I mean, very refined and very, very interesting. You know, they're very calming when you're cooking them and when you're eating them.
Right.
To me, right. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Very good. So we're going to have the opportunity to spend the evening with you tomorrow night. This is going to be great at the Collins Street Event Center. And we will see how this all plays out. I know we're having a nice meal and it's going to be a good evening. Yeah, it'll be a fun evening.
Craig, the pressure's on now. I mean, we got
that's right.
This is Massimo Capra. This is a chef.
Let's get Christian to bring his dog over so at least somebody will eat his own meatballs.
Perfect.
Gauntlet thrown.
Beautiful. Oh. On that note, we'll let Chef Capra go. Thank you so much, sir. We look forward to it.
You're very welcome, guys.
All right. Cheers.
Have fun. Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow night.
You certainly will. There he is, Chef Capra, Massimo, and Gregorio.
Oh, my goodness. This will be something. Get your tickets through the rock.fm. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.